All right, that sounds good.
All right, so we are live. You know, it usually takes a little bit for people to come on. I will say we're live in many, many places. So if you see a low number next to the eyeball, I'm not sure if you could see that. Oh, you can't even see it. Okay, I was going to say there's more than what shows, but it's just in a many places. Since we are getting started on this beautiful Wednesday, if you don't mind, tell everyone who you are, what you do, how you do it, and all that good jazz.
Yeah, absolutely. So hi, Brian Ellington, Chief Learning Officer for eXp Realty. Been in the real estate industry for 20 plus years. Agent, son of an agent. Spent some time at some of our competitors. Chief Learning Officer, Chief Products Officer, Chief Operating Officer for the Red Sign Companies, International Franchising. And then went to a company that used to be called Realogy that owns a bunch of brands. I was head of training coaching for all of their brands and company owned stores, and then chief operating officer, chief development officer for Century 21 for a bit.
Just a limited amount of knowledge is what I'm at.
in the right places at the right times, I suppose.
That's right. And I do want to tell everyone, ask any questions that you have. We are watching the comments, so if you do have a question, just let us know, and then we'll ask it if it's appropriate. And of course, as always, anybody in the room, ask a question, because this is a pretty cool opportunity. All right, so I did hear you mention, obviously you've been into a lot of these positions in a lot of these larger companies. One, I didn't realize Realogy changed your name. They changed your name to what?
Who knows what it is now? Okay. Anywhere, I think, is the latest iteration.
Okay. All right. So Anywhere, and if you don't mind, tell everyone which franchises they hold. I believe is 7 brands and some company owned stuff.
That's right. Coldwell Banker, Century 21, ERA, Sotheby's, Better Homes and Gardens, Corcoran, Klein, and I'm sure I'm missing. And then NRT, their company owned stores as well.
Right. So we talked to some agents and they say they kind of swap from company to company in terms of those franchises. And they say, man, it feels the same when I go to these franchises, and I don't think they understand that it's owned by one company, and that's why.
Yeah, their value proposition is produced by Central Services. And so everything from their technology to marketing and all the things in between are all done by shared services. And so whether you're with one brand or another, you're going to get similar products and services, just with a different wrapper on it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. So you just moved into this role, I believe, October of this year. And what are you finding is being some of the biggest challenges, knowing everything that you know from the other firms and the other seats that you've sat in? What are some of the biggest challenges here that you're tackling first at eXp?
That's a great question. So 3 main areas that I'm working on right now. So first off, the university, and working with that great team to upgrade. Hey, I love it. To upgrade our training, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But first, eXp is also getting into coaching, and so I'll be leading the charge in real estate coaching. We have the very talented Amy Somerville on the success side of things, doing whole life and non-real estate business coaching. I'm building a team that will do real estate coaching. I'm pretty excited about that. Some really interesting people within eXp that are going to be amazing coaches that I'm in discussions with right now. Talented people who are already coaching today, and just hoping to give them a bigger platform, and hoping more than anything that they can help our agents grow their businesses. And then finally, interestingly enough, we are working on a real estate radio channel. And the idea is that we have so many talented content creators out there who are doing great things. And by the way, Ruben and I did not talk about this yet. So you may not even know that I'm doing this. And so we're giving them a bigger platform to broaden their reach, take what they're already doing in terms of podcasts and other things, and give them an opportunity to do it on our airwaves, and then through our podcast channel as well. So working on those 3 areas.
That's awesome. Yeah, I heard through the grapevine because some of our agents own a podcast, and apparently they're in communications of what that looks like. And I know it's brand new. Also, I'm talking to Curtis Dixon later. He wants to talk to me about some of the things I guess you guys are chatting about. So I'm very excited about what you guys are doing and the changes that you guys are making.
I am too. I'm really excited about it. You know, one of the, I said I'd share a little bit more about the university, and that's one of the first big projects that we're working on is helping our newer and agents who aren't producing yet at the level that they want to be producing, helping them to really get started. And so as a cool project, we've been researching who among our agents in, you know, the 6 months after their license had at least one deal, and then in their first year had at least a percentage over average PPP. And we've got several hundreds that we're going through. And these are people who are just rock stars, who really got after it and did more in their first year than even successful agents oftentimes will do in a year deep into their career. And modeling out exactly how they did that. And what's interesting about that is, you know, one size does not fit all. There are coaching companies out there that will focus purely on prospecting. There are coaching companies out there that will focus purely on marketing. And I've always thought, man, if those coaches ever got together and had a beer and decided to become one big coaching company, they'd have just a juggernaut that couldn't be reckoned with. But fortunately for us, they have not. And that's our opportunity. And so bringing to the forefront, like I think about Suman Kim here in Austin, where I'm from, who did, I think, like 140 transactions off of YouTube last year. Just incredible. I know other agents, like there's a gentleman out in California who in his first year did 20 some odd transactions off of open houses. Incredible, right? And so modeling out exactly what they're doing step by step, not general philosophy, but really step by step, strategically, how did you do that? And then being able to share that back with our agents, that's cool. That's meaningful. And as somebody who grew up eating off of real estate commission checks, I appreciate very much what that means in terms of the difference in people's lives. And so I'm really looking forward to that project.
Yeah, I love that. And I know you threw out the word PPP, and that is not the loan product back when everything hit the fan. What is PPP for ones who don't understand what that is?
Yeah, sorry to use cool kid jargon. Per person productivity. You know, you look at the industry and it's actually fairly low. This whole illusion that Hollywood has of us as all having big hair, driving Cadillacs, lots of gold jewelry. First of all, I don't even have hair. And I certainly don't drive a Cadillac. And neither do, hey, brother, I like it. Looks good on you, though. But yeah, this whole illusion that everybody in real estate is swimming in money and just killing it, it's not the case. A lot of us are really trying to get out there and provide a living for our families, and many realtors struggle. It's why we have such a huge failure rate in this business. And so our goal is really to provide that sort of step-by-step pathway that, you know, effort in, results out, and right. You can provide not only, you know, basis for your family, but provide the kind of lifestyle that you want for your family if you'll follow the systems that we produce.
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds like you are, you know, success leaves clues, right? I know you've heard that before. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. And you're collecting those success items and putting it together. One question, though, I know that, I mean, I was at the big red company, too, and it was known that you have to use a certain coaching company while being at that firm. For you guys, what does that look like? Is it going to be known, wink, wink, that we use one, or is this another option?
No. And, you know, I like to think I learned from my mistakes in life. Certainly that was another time and place and another cast of characters as well that I worked with. And so, no, absolutely not. In fact, we're actually talking with several other coaching companies that we'd love to bring and put in front of our agents. Well, I don't care who you use. If you're being productive, we all win. And so anything we can do to further that, absolutely want to make sure that we're bringing the best to light. And we're going to leverage EXP coaches as much as possible, our talented agents who are also coaches, and where we have opportunities to partner with outside companies, we will absolutely do that all day long. As long as they're bringing value and really getting results for our folks, I'm in.
I love that. You know, are you still on the hunt and in, or maybe you and your team, not just necessarily you, looking for more conversations for people who may be interested in this kind of beta test or whatever this looks like on the coaching side?
And by the way, folks, Ruben and I didn't talk about this, but absolutely, always looking for talented people. The kind of people that I want to be on board, it's a rare bird that has the ability not only to do the things, but then to also coach the things. That's a separate skill set and a separate talent. And so, yeah, always on the lookout for great folks.
That's awesome. Once it gets more up and running, we should do another one of these and find some transparency and clarity in what that operation looks like.
Yeah, I would love that. And if it helps just for today, really there's two big areas that I'm looking at today. One is the obvious one-to-one coaching, right? That traditional relationship where we focus on your goals, your challenges, help you implement, hold you accountable to what you're trying to accomplish. And that kind of relationship is an amazing relationship to have. So I mean, there's no such thing as a top talented athlete that doesn't have a coach. And in my experience, there's no such thing as a top talented business person that doesn't have a coach, not just in real estate, but outside real estate as well. So obviously one-to-one coaching would be part of that. But then there's individuals who are just amazingly talented and maybe don't have the time to be able to do one-to-one coaching. And that's not their focus. It's not their passion, but they do have an amazing program at something, whether it be social media, hiring your first assistant, building a team, internet lead conversion, what have you. There are people in our organization who are just masterfully talented at a given topic, and for them to be able to produce a time-bound coaching program, you know, 1 to 3 months, where they're giving kind of step-by-step, giving people the implementation from 1 week to another, helping them with their challenges in implementation. There's a ton of opportunity there for folks who have that kind of program to come play and help other agents grow.
Right. Do you guys have any questions so far? Any questions you guys are like thinking about? You know, I'll turn around every once in a while and do that. And for anybody else who's watching, obviously drop your questions below. We may entertain it. All right, so what's a CLO or who's a CLO you admire and learn from outside of EXP?
Great question. Kimo Kippen. Training Magazine does this annual award. It used to be called the Top 125. Now it's called Apex. And I was very fortunate to lead a team. You compete as a company across all industries across the globe with other companies who have training as a core value for them. And I was honored enough to lead a team who won that award 4 years, and we made it to the Hall of Fame. One of the people that I met in that whole experience was a gentleman by the name of Kimo Kippen, who was the chief learning officer for Hilton, an amazingly talented and generous man, just incredibly knowledgeable in the learning space. And really very generous with his knowledge. We did kind of a, I'll show you mine, you show me yours type of thing. And it was a very interesting thing. He's very talented. But then there was another gentleman who wasn't a chief learning officer, but he started an entrepreneurship MBA by the name of Jeff Sandifer. Jeff is a billionaire, made his money in oil and venture capital, and put together a program. It was an MBA program, Master's of Business Administration. And what was interesting about that program is it was an MBA in entrepreneurship. And so you're learning everything from, you know, how to do financials, cash flow, balance sheets, intrinsic value of firms, to how to spot an opportunity, you know, entrepreneurship, how to build off of an opportunity into an actual company and scale up. I mean, everything in terms of creating a massive business. What's interesting though, because you'd learn that in a lot of different MBA programs, but the professors in this program weren't actual teachers. They were actual business people who had started and oftentimes sold multiple companies. So for instance, the guy who taught me operations was a guy by the name of Jack Long, who in Texas, there's a service called Lone Star Overnight. It's the Texas equivalent of DHL, if you're familiar with that, right? So postal delivery kind of a thing. you want to talk about somebody who understands operations at its core, this yeah. guy, right? And what was really amazing is that they didn't make statements in the classroom. They could only ask questions. Otherwise, they would get fired out of the program. And so you would get your knowledge through these notes and other things, and then you would come into the classroom and they would just ask these amazingly deep questions and really challenge your thinking on how business should be done and how you can solve certain problems. Really interesting methodology of learning that I'd never been exposed to. You know, as a fresh graduate out of college, I actually taught English in an underprivileged high school in central Austin. And so my framework of what training was is, I'm going to give you a bunch of information, you memorize it, you regurgitate it on a piece of paper, and then you promptly forget 99% of it, right? That's the model for education in our country, unfortunately, for the most part. And that whole experience was just such a mind shift for me in terms of how learning should be done, putting the onus on the learner, letting the learner experience and then learn along the way. You know, the old expression of when the student is ready, the master appears. It's very true. Oftentimes, and this is very relevant in real estate, when you look at new agent training programs, what do? We throw all of this information at the agent in their first like 30 days and expect that they're going to remember all of this. Most agents don't take listings. If they take them in their first year at all, don't take them until much later in their first. So why are we talking about, you know, here's how to do a listing presentation before you even got a listing appointment? And that experience, what it codified in me is the idea that if I can help you get a listing appointment, you're going to be really primed to want to learn really quickly, what do I do in terms of a listing presentation? But until you have that, it's not going to be real to you. And you're not going to really, truly be open to learning and ingesting that in a way that you can go perform very shortly off of that. And so how you present information to an adult learner, especially, it's a unique challenge. And unfortunately, there's a lot of great people in our industry who are really good at real estate. That doesn't mean necessarily they're great at training and coaching real estate, which is a completely different skill set. And so, yeah, those two experiences, hanging with Kimo and then going through that MBA program with Jeff Sandifer, really shifted my thinking in terms of learning.
That's awesome, man. I think after this, I'm going to get those names from you, put them in the description so that anybody else can follow them and maybe learn something from it. And it sounds like you learned things on what to do and what not to do. So prompted my next question, what's the worst piece of advice you have ever gotten?
Oh my gosh. The worst piece of advice I've ever gotten. I guess the whole idea of diversification and don't put all your eggs in one basket. And that's been true across a lot of things in life for me. And what I found that, you know, that kind of mentality leads to a lack of mastery. And for real estate agents, this is especially true. And you see this a lot. Even if you're just a homeowner, you get a newsletter for like 60 days from an agent, and then you stop getting that newsletter. And the idea is that, you know, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that. Well, no, that doesn't lead to mastery. Really, really focusing on something. And when you look at a company like Procter & Gamble, for example, or Johnson & Johnson, whatever you like, you might have a product line that they've just dominated in. You know, baby powder comes to mind, for example, for Johnson & Johnson. But when they went into the shampoo business, they didn't just go, well, I guess we got to stop the whole baby powder thing now and focus on this, right? They built up that business line to a level where it was able to run with minimal effort. And then they added the next thing. But they didn't let that go. They didn't step away from that. They still kick butt in the baby shampoo area, even though they went on to, you know, dental floss or whatever else you want to throw in. So I guess that idea of, you know, diversify across a wide swath of things, try everything and try to incorporate it all into your business, that's just not the case. The other, I think, bad piece of advice that a lot of real estate agents get early on is you got to spend money to make money. And, you know, I see that's a trigger. Yeah.
Literally yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, and look, no offense to our friends at Zillow. I've coached a lot of teams. I haven't seen any of them that have really made Zillow success, right? They do it as a way of appeasement with their team members, but financially it is a bad bet for them. And a lot of different marketing is that as well. Conversely, some of the most successful agents I know are door knockers, hardcore prospectors, right? Not necessarily burning up the phones and not necessarily going after expireds. You know, there's a lot of negativity that goes around the idea of prospecting, but that idea that that I can spin my way into leads has led to many a bankrupt individual in this industry.
Yeah, we and you, this may sound familiar too. As soon as an agent gets onboarded, you know, through a various amount of text messages that we're sending out as slow trickle information versus, like you said, the dump. Part of that is lead with revenue. And don't move forward with buying anything just yet. Let's start making some money first. So that's pretty big for us.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Any questions? How about Zillow? You got any questions about Zillow?
Not questions. Just, No. I mean, I have had very much success with Zillow from the very beginning when I did the market-based Zillow as a new agent. My first year, I sold $600,000. My second year after Zillow, I went up to $1.5 million. And then every year doubled since then. I like the fact that they've switched to Flex now to where we are only paying on the productive leads, not like just getting a bunch of, you know, paying for leads and some of them are just trash. You actually just do the percentage-based when you're on the Flex program, which is really great. And my, it's, but that said, it's the gravy. I still have my past clients, my sphere of influence, all of those that I work continuously. Yeah. And those are much more profitable because it's 100% my lead. I'm not paying anything off the top.
Yeah.
So it's like a, I don't want to bash Zillow because it is the gravy. If you can get into the Flex program where you're only paying a percentage, it's like getting a lead from Ruben or getting a lead from someone else. It's just lead based.
Yeah. So it's a shame.
So from this point on, anyone calls me and wants me to pay up front for leads, I'm like, no, thank you. Not interested. Yeah. No, thank you. Not interested. Because that, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you've had good success. Many agents don't. And even with Zillow Flex, the issue there, the high percentage that you're paying on the backside of things versus the work that you're doing to bring that lead to fruition. For a lot of agents, that same time could be spent, as you say, on your sphere and other things, and you're going to have a much higher profit margin on that business. Again, no offense to our friends at Zillow. They do bring in a lot of leads for folks, but you're going to have to work them. And the question that you're going to have to ask yourself, as you have, is that time better spent elsewhere on Sphere, open houses, whatever else I might do to generate leads? Look, at the end of the day, I've always thought this is the simplest business possible. I mean, it really is so simple. Now there's 1.5 million of us who make it really complicated, but it is very simple. And the simplest thing I can say to you about this business is it's about getting in front of enough people so that the percentage of people who are going to buy a home and are willing to buy it through you makes sense economically for you. How you choose to do that, honestly, doesn't matter. I was part of this I guess call it a game, a contest with a like 30 plus teams, where we had six folks from each team, and we called it the 6,000. And the whole idea was over the course of a month, each team had to make 6,000 contacts. And so that's 1,000 contacts per person. So do the math, 250 per week. So, you know, about 50 per day of working days per person. If you've never tried to do that sustained over the course of a month, you're going to have to get really creative in how you do it. And so we had teams that went to like sporting events and stood by the concession stand. Hi, how you doing? Brian Ellington with EXP. You know, that kind of thing. We had people who went to Barnes and Noble and stood in front of the magazine rack and sat there and introduced themselves, right? But here's the funny thing. I had a friend of mine who ran a team in Houston. The third week of that contest, whatever you want to call it, they had 17 listing appointments on that Monday. The third week. Yeah. And by the way, just go do the math on the contacts and all that makes perfect sense when you think about it like that. Now, should you go out and do 1,000 contacts in a month? If you can, yeah, go do it. If that's how big you need your business to be to fulfill your life's goals. And if you don't need it to be that big, then dial back to whatever that contact goal is. You know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine some years ago who was a very successful young agent. And in his second year in the business at the ripe age of like 24, I think he was at the time, was doing over 2 million in GCI. And so I asked him a very simple question. How'd you do that? And his comment back to me was, well, I didn't leave the office until I had made 30 contacts per day, every day. And by the way, my license, I was in the same office as his. And so I know what he was saying was actually true. I'd see him in the office even, you know, as late as 8 o'clock at night making calls, trying to hit his 30. And I compared and contrasted that with my mom. This is kind of dating me. When I was a kid, my parents would record game shows, like Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, right? And at night, on a VCR, shame to say, at night we would watch whatever they had recorded on the VHS tapes. But it seemed like we could never get through an evening without the phone ringing. Back then they had the landlines. And my mom had to hit pause on the VCR, and we had to listen to mom as late as 9 o'clock at night having conversations about real estate because she never could shut it off. She never knew when her job was done. And so I kind of came up with this concept, and I jokingly referred to it as the sleep number. And this is what's interesting about our business. It can be feast or famine sometime. And so how do you know when your job is done? If you don't have a closing that day or the next day, how do you know when to shut it off? How do you rest easy? And for me, it's about figuring out and what's your goal, and then dial that back to activities. Because again, this is a very simple business. If you tell me I want to make $150,000 in GCI, cool, I can tell you based on your average sales price, your commission rate, whatever it is you charge, that's going to mean X number of deals. Given fall through, that's going to mean X number of contracts. It's going to mean X number of appointments. And then therefore, how many contacts you should make per day in order to set some new appointments, right? And once you've done that, on any given day, once you've hit your number, whatever it is for you, go enjoy your family. Go enjoy your friends. Enjoy life. Just know that you can be Forrest Gump in this business. As long as you do the activities necessary to succeed, you are going to provide for yourself and your loved ones. It's just this whole mythology that the top agents are, you know, somehow smarter, more social. You know, it's not the case. I've known the most successful agents in this industry, and not saying that they're not social or that they're not smart, but they were never exceptionally that. The reason why they were so successful is because they just committed to the activity level necessary to hit their goals, and they figured out their particular methodology for doing that.
Totally. We, as agents join us, like our organization, I guess you would say, we do a business 101 conversation, which is all about calendar building. And we block in, or we put in their personal life first, what we call their priorities. put all that in, and then we expose the white space within their calendar. And then it's really broken into two different parts, which is create and service business. So by doing that, I mean, it's been simple to find those times to plug in the right activities outside your priorities, which is your family, exercise, you know, all the other things. What questions? You got any other questions so far? Any questions? Questions? Anyone online? Let me know.
I got something you just said that triggered, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
You know, interesting. Do any of you know the significance of 168 hours? It's how many hours are in a given week. I didn't know that either. And when I first heard that, I did the math on my phone calculator and figured it out. It's 168 hours. That's how many hours you have in your week. I mentioned that that MBA program I went through. It was a full accredited MBA program, which is traditionally done in 2 years. It was done in 1 year. So it was literally 100 hours a week, right? Again, there's only 168 hours in a week. And by the way, my firstborn son was born 4 days before I went into that program. I have an amazing wife. But what's interesting is they had us do this exercise, 168 hours. And what they asked us to do was write down all the things you want to do. Whatever that is. You want to be involved in politics? Great. How many hours per week does that take to do whatever you want to do? You want to be more involved in your church, synagogue, mosque, temple, whatever? How many hours per week can you do that? You say you want to be a good father or a good mother to your kids? Okay, that's time. That's how kids spell L-O-V-E is T-I-M-E. So how much time are you going to give that? And when you do that exercise, and literally we did this exercise, right? And you map out the time you want to spend doing life. And then what's left over is what you use to do the work that's going to fuel your life. Funny aside was when I was going through that MBA program, it's 100 hours a week. And so there's still things I wanted to do, firstborn child and all that other stuff. And so I'm literally like negotiating with myself, like, do I really need 8 hours of sleep or could I get by with six? Can I take a faster shower and eat a faster lunch? You know, all those little things. But the point of that is really when you think about what you want to accomplish, if you're truly going to be intentional about it, mapping that out and really getting a firm sense of, okay, I know then I'm going to have to spend so many hours, and then figuring out when you're going to do that. And then that really compresses your work to a defined period, which is not a bad thing. There's this concept called Parkinson's law that work will expand to the time you allow it. It does not take a whole lot of time to be successful in real estate. I know people who work 60 hours a week and they do 10 deals. I know people who work 60 hours a week and do 100 deals. The time is not the important thing. It's the intentionality during that time. And the ability to just do the work in the time that you're giving yourself and then go enjoy your life. And if you've never done an exercise like that, man, I'm telling you, burn some sage, light a candle, really get meditative about your life and what you want. You will walk away from that experience understanding how to really go about living to get the things that you want to get out of life. It really is an interesting exercise.
Yeah, I mean, you're preaching to the choir, because I feel like, you know, we believe that calendar is the biggest leverage that we can have. And at any time somebody says, you know, they don't have time for whatever we're discussing or something they committed to, I'm like, cool, that works. Let me see your calendar. And most of the time, they haven't done a really good job of blocking in the things that they said that they were going to block in.
You know what? I was at a regional rally, and one of the awesome agents with EXP there at the rally asked me a question about, she was a full-time employee at another job, getting started in real estate, and asking advice about, you know, could she be successful given that she had a defined period of time? I had a friend of mine who was actually the number one agent in the country across the industry, did 500 deals as a solo agent. What was interesting is he had a 9-to-5 job in finance for his first, I think it was 4 or 5 years. His last year working this full-time job, he did, I think it was 140 deals or 190 deals, something crazy, right? It's 140 at least. And when he finally went to quit, his mom asked him, she was like, well, but what are you going to do about benefits? And he's like, I'm doing 140 real estate transactions. I got benefits covered. But the point of it that I made to that lady is, that person, my friend, and others that I've known were really just rigid about their time. And one of the things we do, that's kind of this Taylor Swift concept of, hi, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me, is we ask questions that are wrong. We say things like, oh, well, what time works for you? Don't ever say that question again. If you really want to be successful in life, not just in business, and have the time to do what you need to do in life, don't ever ask the question, what time works for you? The question is, does this time or this time work better? And if neither of those work, okay, great. How about this time or that time? Control your time. And by the way, I'm guessing out there in the world, there's somebody who will come in the chat and say, well, it happened to me once, but I've never heard of somebody who didn't get to work with a client because they suggested times that just didn't work for the client. They were able to figure it out in the time that was convenient, right? Yeah. It may not have been what the client wanted. There's always those out of town folks coming in that, you know, have a defined period. That still doesn't mean that you need to give them your calendar and let them do with it what they will. Working your life around your schedule means controlling your time. We all have the same 24 hours in the day. And if you wonder why, you know, Bezos and Musk and all these other people are able to do what they're able to do, it's because they control their time.
Yeah. And just so I'm aware, how much time do you have? Because I know that you had a little bit of a little time.
Got a couple more minutes.
Okay. All right. So if you got any questions? Because I got a few more questions. All right. Okay. All right. What would you say, especially in this market, a little wonky, right? What would you say is the number one asset that you would implement, or at least that you've seen across the board with these other companies that you work with joining us? What would be the number one asset that we should be applying right now in this market?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I think it's a combination of skill and really prospecting. I mean, here's the truth of the matter. The market does not matter. If you go back and look historically, let's just take the recession, for example, back in the 2008 to 2011. What's interesting is, yes, the amount of transactions in the market went down. You know what else went down? The amount of realtors in the market. And as a result, per person productivity went back up. Around the 2006-2007 timeframe, per person productivity dipped below 4. In this industry, 4 deals per agent. I went down to the 3s. What's interesting is around or about 2010, 11, it started going back up to the 4s. And by the way, that's where it should be. And then again, you look over the past couple of years, call it 3-4 years, what happened? Per person productivity has gone down below 4 again. Now, as we look at 1.5 million realtors, and we all have to just understand that I don't relish saying this at all. There are going to be a lot of agents who leave this industry. Now, many of them, you know, just got their license for, you know, whatever instance of having their license they needed for. They never really intended to be a real estate agent. But a lot of folks are going to leave this business, which means for the folks who are dedicated, who are going to be here, there's a huge opportunity to capture market share, right? All those folks, they have databases of people that are no longer going to have their friend as their realtor. And that's an opportunity. But again, go back to what I was saying before, get in front of people. As an asset, one of the things I'd say is use DialSafe, our dialer or whatever DNC scrubber you choose to use. And by the way, that may seem like a really weird thing to say, but just understand there are law firms out there that are targeting real estate agents for DNC, TCPA, and those fines are not cheap. They are very costly and will bankrupt you. So make sure that you're using tools like that and get out there and prospect. And I mean, you know, people think of prospecting as a negative thing. Bring value to people. You will mm-hmm. find that your prospecting conversations become fun and interesting and not the laborious chore that most people think that they are. There are yeah. great techniques and strategies, even with expireds, which is traditionally one of the most mentally taxing, psyche-wise, because you're dealing with very angry people. Even with expireds, if you're coming from a standpoint of value, it's going to be a completely different conversation.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't too long ago where I was, because I think this, obviously, the more people you know and you have like a systemized conversation with them about adding value and few call to actions like Gary Vee, you know, jab, 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 right hook type system. Right. I was like, man, I wish I would have kept people's names and numbers in elementary school and just started that and started building it out from there and figured out, you know, what happened to them in life. But could you imagine building those type of relationships in a systemized way, not relying on this bad boy for from elementary school and what you would create, you know?
That's cool. The number one regret of every top agent I've ever asked the question to is I wished I had built my database sooner and really been more thoughtful about working it. I mean, my mom, it was a traditional realtor, right? She had this green 3M spiral notebook with like stickies that were like hanging out every side of the notebook except the side with the metal coil on it. But you know, as much as I teased her about it, at least she had that. Most agents don't even have that, right? Being systematic about working your database and just staying top of mind. You don't know when somebody's going to have one of the 5 D's occur in their life, or whatever, you know, that leads them to make a purchase or a sale decision. Just constantly reaching out, providing value, creating that law of reciprocity in life. That they will think of you when they're ready to do their transactions. That's all it is. And look, we're not robots. We're not automatons. We all have days where, you know, we prefer to stay in bed and things like that. And we all have things that occur in life. I get that. But as much as possible, sticking to a systematic way of approaching your database and whatever that database is, geographic, farm, sphere, you get to choose, right? Right. Just make the contacts on a regular enough basis. You're going to have all the success in life you ever needed.
I love it. Three more questions. Number one, you said robot. Can you do the robot?
My daughter's in competition dance. I will not sully the Ellington name by poorly doing a dance out there. She's got great things in front of her. I'm not going to be the handicap that knocks her backward.
You should just do one arm the next time you hit the stage at EXP. The second one is, what is something you wish you were better at?
Oh, man. Father, always. Ooh. Yeah, I have 4 kids, they're in that magical zone. My youngest just turned 6 2 days ago. My third child is turning 11 today. I've got a 12-year-old and a 7-year-old. Yeah, always better father. Always.
Yeah. So for the fathers out there, what, I don't know, that's a pretty powerful answer. So what is something that you have struggled with in the past that you've gotten better at? And what was it and how did you get better at it for the fathers out there?
That's an interesting question. Allowing them to be who they are. You know, what's interesting is when Kobe Bryant died, I don't know if you guys remember the funeral services that they did for them. And my oldest, Holden, he's brilliant and has some learning challenges, but absolutely brilliant and was really down on himself about, you know, his school pathway. And what I said to him, you know, I pointed to the funeral, huge stadium full of people, millions of people around the world mourning this young man who we lost. And I said to Holden, do you know what this gentleman did for a living? And he said, no. I said, he dribbled a basketball. I mean, that's what Kobe Bryant did for a living. made millions. By the way, died in a multi-million dollar helicopter, unfortunately. And what he did was just simply do it better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting, especially from a guy whose whole entire career has been about learning and higher knowledge, you would think that, you know, I would be wanting to push my kids through that traditional route of going through college. Most of the successful agents I know don't have a degree. They don't.
Do you have a degree?
I do.
What is it?
It's Christian education.
Okay. So that's something you educate on, right? So I don't have a degree either. So that's interesting you say that.
Well, but you don't need it. Because what a degree exposes you to is just a variety of different things that you could go master. The question is, what are you going to go master? And right. I don't care what it is. You want to putt a golf ball? Hey, go take a look at Tiger Woods' bank account. He's doing all right. No, yeah. Personally, I don't know how he's doing, but financially, he's doing all right. But yeah, you don't need one. And the idea is figure out whatever you want to do. I mean, really, whatever you want to do, and just go master that. And whatever you want in life, is the doors are going to open for you. I mean, you could think about some of the most successful people in the world. My dad did mergers and acquisitions for decades. He sold the number one catfish in North America, and he was a broker in the deal. $100 million. The number one company that makes ladyfingers, you know, the tiramisu, $70 million company. $70 million for freaking ladyfingers. You know, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. You go master that, the world is your oyster. So yeah, totally. Just allowing them to figure out their pathway in life, and then just encouraging them to master whatever it is that they choose. You know, you want the best for your kids, and there's proven pathways that you're used to that you want to try to push them to, resisting that because that's your pathway, not theirs.
Yeah, exactly. And I think come from curiosity a lot of the time helps as well. And just being curious on why paths were taken and all the other things. Last question. What question do you have for us sitting here in front of you, staring at you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess the question I'd ask you is, selfishly and self-serving, is what's the one training program that you wished EXP University offered?
What is the one training? Yes, go ahead. Oh, we'll go around the room. What's the one training, I guess, or class or whatever that you feel or wish that EXP University had?
And be selfish.
This might be a little niche, but I have come out 9 years of simply selling VA REO properties. And I'm transferring to what I would call regular real estate. Now, my husband was a real estate agent, a realtor for over 20 years. So I'm really familiar with everything, but I'm trying to overcome the mental block of moving from one niche to something more general. And I think what would be helpful for me is to make things more in categories where it's easier to find, because I'm big on self-educating and finding things for myself. And I'm kind of more of a plug and play person. Like if I see an area that I'm weak in, I want to attack that area. And the past month or so, I've been fed by a fire hose. On one hand, it's glorious because there is all that information, which excites me. But the other thing is, it also feels a little overwhelming for somebody who's just getting introduced to the system. So anything that would be like even of a directory or something, so I could go to that one place, that one page, if I want to find this, like an index or directory, that would be easy for a knothead who's just coming into your system. Because I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm thrilled with what I'm finding out of EXP. I'm thrilled about all the educational opportunities, but I find my biggest stressor is going through and digging through all the gold to find the particular nugget I'm looking for. Is that helpful?
So number one, does that absolutely exist?
So it's interesting you say that, because we are working on that, is consolidating our training platforms to one, and then also to making the content more accessible to the modern methodologies of learning. And so when we do that, it will be your idea and we'll give you credit. But yes, we are working on that right now.
I love that. I love that. Who else? What would you say?
Yeah, she hit on mine as well.
I
share the credit.
Yeah. Oh, she's co-authorship.
The way you said it was good. I couldn't figure out how to, like, a search bar. To consolidate, like, EXP University is amazing, and I know there's so much in there, but when I'm looking for how to become a mentor, where do I look? Like, so much, you don't even know where to begin to look.
Yeah, so she mentioned kind of like a search bar.
Yeah.
Because, you know, selfishly, I know where, because I've been with you for about 5 years, I think-ish, so I kind of know. But it is definitely, you know, open this door to get into this door and open that door, get in this door. So, yeah, something a lot simpler, like a search bar, which I guess I didn't even.
Yeah, it shouldn't take 5 years with us to figure out where all of our training is and how to get what you need. Yes, absolutely. And agree 100%. And, you know, taking the idea further, our training should be a competitive weapon in recruiting. You should be able to go to one place with anybody that you're trying to attract to the company and be able to show them all the training and coaching that we have to offer. And so that's going to be a big focus for us over this next year, is consolidating and also putting it into the format that we as agents think in terms of, so that the content, you can quickly find your answers, as opposed to needing, you know, a big swath of time where you can just kind of meander and explore and trip into the things that you're looking for.
I like it. Yeah, because I work closely with a company called The Locker Room Coaching. Have you heard of them?
I have not.
So they got a search bar and they crush it. I mean, that search bar, now that I think about it, yeah, I could definitely see the value there.
Well, I didn't have a question. My hesitation to ask the question about education was that I feel like I haven't tapped into all the EXP has to offer, so I didn't want to ask for something that doesn't exist already.
Does that exist already? But apparently it doesn't, and you're going to get credit, which is awesome. We got 9 minutes, I guess, if you've got that, which here goes a question. What does your own personal growth plan look like? Books, audio, events? How does he go about building his own personal growth plan?
That's a very interesting question. So I follow a particular strategic planning process that I do. I got this from a CEO that I worked with a long time ago. She had gone to, I think it was Chick-fil-A's leader cast, and it was either Herb Kelleher or Truett Cathy Sr. who'd shared how they build their business plan. And it's more of a strategic plan. And so I do that as well, not only with my teams, but personally, what I'm looking to go after. And so for me, personal growth areas are in investing, making sure that I'm continuing to learn about things like, you know, Series I bonds was something that I learned about last year and started investing in that. Other investment avenues, I did the traditional landlord investing, you know, single family properties and all that. I learned about land development and got involved in land investing as well. I live in Austin, where we still have a lot of cattle ranches on the outskirts of Austin. And so that was a cool opportunity. But, you know, for me, it's a weird thing to say, but if I'm not learning something new, I'm unhappy. And so figuring out what the things that I wanna learn and master are, and that's been everything from cooking to martial arts to spirituality and things of that nature. So in any given year, that might change. If I feel like I've gotten to a level of mastery in one area, then I'm going to move on and learn something new. It's what keeps life interesting for me. So it's a combination of making sure that I provide for my family, that I'm growing professionally, and that I'm growing as well in my happiness in terms of mastering something new.
Right. What book are you listening or reading right now, currently?
Yeah, so that's a cheat question. So I'm actually, I use a book called Four Disciplines of Execution to do strategic planning with my teams. So I've been going back and redoing that book with my team, and really getting a lot out of that. I tell you, for me, leadership is a really big thing. You know, when somebody comes to work with you, they're trusting you to help them on their pathway, help them build their career. And so I take leadership very seriously. And so I'm always reading books on leadership. Radical Candor is one that I just got done reading before I restarted Four Disciplines of Execution. That's Kim Scott, great book. And it, especially if you're a team leader out there, I highly recommend that book.
Well, if you have an affiliate link for that, let me know, and I will put it in the description so you can get a little cut. Looks like another question slid in. I like this one because we're here in the South, of course, North Carolina. Marketing oneself can be a challenge for an oldish, redneckish realtor dude like me, I guess he's saying. What suggestions might you have for social media?
Yeah, it's a great question. Picasso had a great quote, Pablo Picasso. He said, good artists borrow, great artists steal. Go steal. There's amazing agents out there on the internet, and go model them out. We have the luxury of having people like Levi in Dallas, Mike Sherrard in Canada, just amazingly talented people who've leveraged social media in building their business. Go look at what they're doing and model that. Use it to give you the idea, and then go create your own. And in my redneck friend, the main thing there is just consistency. And by the way, you mentioned Gary Vee earlier. Go look at his old videos. Go look at some of his original videos. I mean, no offense to the guy, because he's absolutely brilliant, but his old videos weren't that great. I mean, he was just getting started, learning things, and learned his lessons. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't let your pride get in the way of figuring it out, because anything you start at, you're not going to be good at. I think about my talk about fatherhood. My wife is always enthusiastically putting her kids into something new, right? And I think everybody had that experience of sitting down at like a piano or a guitar for the first time and thinking you were going to be, you know, Jimmy Page or somebody like that, right? You were just going to crank out the next great rock tune your first time touching guitar. It's not going to happen. So same is true with social media. You're not going to crank out the Gary Vee today level quality content. You're going to crank out the Gary Vee back then level quality content. Be okay with that. The biggest thing is just getting, there you go, Rich. I love that. Or Alicia, thank you. Don't be afraid to fail. You are going to. Just embrace that fact and be okay with it.
Yeah, we say it all the time. Fell forward. That's the point of failing, is that you're failing forward. And to speak on that, you know, I literally talked to Levi and I was like, yo, I'm still in everything. I'm still in your backdrop. I'm still in this. And he was like, take it, man. And I take it. And we started it called Find Fayetteville, which we're in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Fayetteville,
yeah. Yeah. Right. Hey, we're trying to get rid of that.
Rebranding.
Yeah, we're trying to rebrand. Fayetteville.
I've got relatives in North Carolina, so.
Maybe I'll have a gutter one that's called Fine Band, you know, just to bring more people. But, no, I mean, you know, again, success leaves clues. Be willing to fall forward. What's interesting is years ago, I was like, oh, I'm a genius. I figured out how to be successful. I know what it is. And it's exactly what you said. It's like steal everything from the person that you – not steal, you know, like R&D and talk with them and all the things. But grab their stuff and build it out, and then you sprinkle your flavor on it. Literally, that's it. It's just those two simple steps.
And it's just got instrument music there, actually. So I go
music.
Yeah,
100%. And you're seeing it right now. I'm listening to music. I'm at the gym. I'm like, oh, bring me back. And it's like, and it's totally brand new. I'm like, whoa, they took that. They took that from an old song. But yeah, we got 2 minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to say? Anything on your mind before we let you go?
Just thanks for having me. I'm excited to be part of the team. And by the way, I'm on Workplace Chat. Please hit me up. Let me know how I can help, how the university can help, our coaching can help you. We are listening intently. So reach out.
Yeah. Awesome, man. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you jumping on here. Appreciate you coming in blind. Everyone comes in blind, no questions. I don't provide anything. And you did great. And again, I appreciate it. I'm going to message you after this just for some of those names and a few other things I'd like to talk with you about. But thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Well, happy Wednesday to you all. And thanks for letting me come play. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.